Well, take your Bibles, please, and this morning we're going to return to a study we were doing before we went into the last series of lessons. We did that throughout all of our adult classes and had some visuals for you with that. In the future, after we finish this series, we'll try to have some more visuals, maybe some papers for you to fill in the blanks. How many of you liked that? It helps you out a little bit. Raise your hand. Okay, that's quite a few people. So we'll use some of those, and maybe that'll help you out. Sometimes we'll be able to use some charts and some images. If we're teaching Daniel, maybe we can put an image of the statue up there, that type thing. But right now we're going to finish out where we left off, and so there are some outlines in the lobby. You can get one of those for today's lesson, as if you want to review that on the life of a man that we're all familiar with to some degree, and that is Joshua. We're looking at great men of the Bible, and Joshua was a man of war. Turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. You recall, as you're turning there, just a few comments about who Joshua was. He was the assistant to Moses. Moses, the great man of God. And he succeeded Moses following Moses' death. Deuteronomy records that. Chapter 31, verse 23. You go ahead and turn to Joshua 1, but I'll read this verse in Deuteronomy 31. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee." And then he was, of course, one of the 12 spies that was sent out. Joshua and Caleb were the two that had faith. The rest of them didn't have. And that's recorded in Numbers 14, verse 6. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, tore their clothes, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, "The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." That was the minority report was, yeah, let's go in and do what God said. The majority sometimes is wrong. Just because it's a majority doesn't mean they're right. But many times there was a majority that stood up to Moses. But Moses was God's man with God's plan, and he did what he had to do. The majority many times was wrong, and Moses by himself was right. The name of Joshua means literally Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. And it comes from the same root word, just by information to you, as the word Jesus comes from. And that is the words Jehovah Hoshea. Getting into the Greek words, and that means that he is really, Joshua is, the reason he has that name is he is a type of Jesus Christ. In many different ways, he typifies the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Moses changed his name. His name was Hoshea, and Moses changed it to Joshua. Numbers 13:16 tells us that. And so he was called Jehoshua. That's an abbreviation, or rather the name Joshua is an abbreviation for Jehoshua. And this is a little technical, but follow with me. The word used for God was J-E-H or J-A-H, Yah, or we get the word Jehovah from that, and that was an abbreviation for Jehovah. They just used the J-E-H or the J-A-H. And then you have the J-E-H and Oshia, Jehoshua, and then they would shorten the word J-A-H or J-E-H and use just a J many times to represent Jehovah. And so they shorten that, and that's where we get, instead of Jehoshua, we get the J in Oshia, and we say Jehoshua. And the whole idea is that he is a type of Christ, and the names mean practically the very same thing. Jesus, the word Jesus, is an anglicized rendering, Greek rendering form of the word Joshua. So Joshua, what we're saying is Joshua and Jesus are close kin. And there's a connection on purpose in their names, because Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what kind of person was Joshua? He was a man of courage, obviously, fortitude. He was a praying man. We can tell he was certainly a dedicated person and a loyal person. You say, what a great man. That's true, but that ought to be true of all of us. Those very same attributes that he had should be our attributes. The very same thing. We should have courage. We should be prayer warriors. We should be dedicated. We should be loyal to God. And that's the kind of person he was. He was considered by many to be one of the greatest military men that ever lived. He is called in the Bible a man of war. And that was part of what he did and part of his training in order to do what God wanted him to do when he led the people across the Jordan. And he, of course, wrote the book that bears his name. It's the first of 12 historical books that we know of in the Bible, the 12 historical books. And the key word, you might want to jot this down in your Bible, is the word, the key word is the word possession. That's one of the key words you're going to see. Go in and possess what is yours. And that's a reminder to us today that God has given us many benefits, many things that belong to us. And we need to possess our possessions. I've heard messages on possess your possessions. God's given us many things. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians that don't possess their possessions. They don't go in the land that God has given us, a land of victory, a land flowing with milk and honey spiritually. And the theme of the book, the key word is possession. The theme is victory through faith. It took faith for him to do what he did, and they had victory. You'll never have any real, long-lasting, good victory in your life as a Christian unless you have faith. You've got to believe what God says. We must believe him and take him at his word. If we don't, we won't step out. We won't act on it. We must have faith. It's not enough just to know his will or to know his word. We have to have faith, believe it, carry it out the way God has taught us to carry it out. And so the theme is victory through faith. The whole book records a lot of good things that would back that up. And that would be the crossing of the Jordan River. Then later took faith when they conquered Jericho, one of the oddest ways of conquering a city that you've ever heard about, is the way they conquered Jericho and captured that. And then the appropriation of the land as he divvied out the land according to what God said. And then the whole ministry of Joshua is pointed out. Joshua lived to be 110 years of age, and he served God well through all of that time. Now let's look at Joshua chapter 1 and look at the appointment to a position of leadership. The appointment to the position of leadership. Now during this day, they had what they called a theocracy. And God was the one who was in charge of who led the people, the Israelites. A theocracy, God-controlled leadership. And God calls out his people. Now, the New Testament, the thing that is similar to that is a pastor in a local church. God calls and places that pastor to be the leader in that local church of people. Now, let's look at some of these verses together, these first nine verses, and see some things God is saying to us. Verse 1 says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord." Keep in mind that Moses was, in fact, God's servant. And he did a good thing. And he served God all of his life, all of his days, to the best of his ability, once he got into the will of God and the plan of God. And that's what he did. And he did some great things and led the people out of the bondage and led them all the way up here to this point. But he did not go into the land. He struck the rock twice, which is bad theology. Jesus only died one time and was buried in a rose. And Moses lost his temper, and God said, "I'm not going to let you go in the land. I'm going to let somebody else take care of that." But notice, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. When God takes away a leader, however that may be, in death or any other way, then God always has somebody lined up and ready to take that place. Now, we run into some complications since we're not a theocracy, but sometimes I have known churches to choose men that were not God's men, and they had to pay the price later on. They were enamored with their speaking ability or something else, their clout, their educational degrees that they had behind their name, and that can create some problems. But many times, if the man is standing on the book and he loves the Lord and he's walking with God, God will always have somebody there to replace the person that died, and God will always see that the work continues to go on. God's able to do that. And sometimes, even in your life, in my life, we think, "I just can't go on when my mate died. I just can't go on when somebody in my life so important died." But we have to focus on the Lord. And we have to remember that the Lord will see us through. And the same Lord that was there with us before we met them, coming to the time when we gave them up, that same Lord is going to be there during that time. And we have to lean on him and trust him and believe and not let that get us down. Some people let the death of a loved one get them down so much that they're never happy again, that they never are able to really get back and serve the Lord like they used to. And they live sometimes in a dismal, discouraged, depressed state. God wouldn't have you to do that, beloved. I have never lost my mate, obviously, and some of you have, and you might be thinking that I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what you've gone through, but I can tell you that God is there, and God will see you through, and God wants you to continue to be a happy Christian, doing what he's called you to do, serving him. And you can live without your mate. You can live without those circumstances. But we have to really focus on the Lord. So after the death of Moses, I'm sure they all thought, "What are we going to do now? Moses is dead. There'll be nobody else to replace him. Where are we going to go? It's all over with. My life is ended. We will never get into Canaan land." But God had other plans, didn't he? And I tell you, God always has a plan. And so Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, I've always, you've heard the jokes about who in the Bible didn't have a mother. And the answer is that Joshua, because he was the son of Nun, right? Corny joke. Thank you, Brother Phipps. Yeah. But but why did you know that God mentions the fact 30 times in the Bible that he was the son of Nun? Now, why do you reckon God did that? Well, I think there's some lessons to us here. I think one of those is the fact that God wanted to emphasize that he had a good mother. And so 30 times he says, didn't just say Joshua was born, but Joshua was the son of Nun. Nun evidently was a godly woman. It doesn't say much about his dad, but it says a lot about her, the son of Nun. And I think it is showing that the mother was a good mother, and that she had every right to be thankful and proud of her son who lived for the Lord and who served God. And so he was the mother of Nun. Over and over mentions that. Every time, just about 30 different times, that he is the son of Nun. She must have been a godly woman. On the other hand, you have in the Bible Jeroboam. And Jeroboam was the son of Nebat. I love those names, don't you? Nebat. Who's your daddy? Nebat. Well, what team does he play for? But at any rate, Nebat. And there was a son named Jeroboam. And Jeroboam led the people of God to do wickedly and evil. And so some 21 times that is mentioned in the Bible. And I think I'm sure that Nebat was ashamed of his son. And perhaps Nebat didn't do what Nebat was supposed to do. But I think there is a lesson there to remind us of the importance of a mother's role in the home to really impact someone like that. And so Joshua was the son of Nun, Moses' minister. He was Moses' minister, or the word is servant. He served Moses. You see, when God is looking for someone to promote, and the Bible says promotion comes from the Lord. And when the Lord observes and watches, he's looking for people like this, because Joshua was faithful and loyal to Moses, the man of God. And he served the man of God. I believe God honors that. And he honors that many times in the ministry. Another thing that I think is interesting is that if you stop and think about it, Joshua was born to Nun probably during the time when he was the firstborn, by the way. The Bible tells us in another place he was her firstborn. And no doubt the Passover night was the night when that firstborn, you remember, the death angel was going to kill all the firstborn. But no doubt Joshua had the blood applied on the doorposts and the lintels. And that gives us a good lesson to remind us that without the blood, without our being under the blood, we'll never be the servants of God, and we can't serve God. We have to be under the blood. And thank God Joshua was under the blood. And it's very possible that during that time, he being the firstborn was protected and saved by the blood. And those who are saved by the blood ought to make good servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that was Joshua. Now, at this rate, we'll be finished about 2 o'clock, all right? Verse 2. He said again, Moses, my servant, is dead. But notice the next thing he said. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't stay depressed. Moses, my servant, is dead. That's a fact. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Moses is gone, but one of the best ways to get over that is get up and get busy serving God. Don't be so taken back by that you feel like that's the end. The way to do it is get busy. Do something. Serve the Lord. He says, arise, get up. Moses is dead. He reminds them of that. Moses is gone. Arise, go over this Jordan. There's some great things that need to be done. And constructive activity is always good whenever there's a time after that. There's a legitimate grieving time, but it's certainly not the process that the Freudian psychologists and psychiatrists tell us about today. That's not biblical. The biblical way is the biblical way, and that's the way we ought to approach it. Now, he says, I want you to go over this Jordan and into the land that I'll give them unto the children of Israel. And what God was saying to Joshua was, Jordan is ready, Canaan is ready, and Israel is ready. It's time to get the job done. And I've given you some promises, and now it's time to go over. And so he's telling them that all of that is ready. Now look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot, Joshua, shall tread upon, everywhere you walk, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now I said Joshua was a man of faith. Well, he had to believe what God said here. God said, get up, go, everything's ready, and I'm going to get everywhere you walk over there, as I promised Moses, I'm going to give it to you and to the children of Israel. And Joshua had to make up his mind either to believe God or not believe God, and he began to exercise his faith in the Lord, and that was an important thing for him to do. That appointment came from God, and Joshua was encouraged by Moses' life and Moses' faith, and the commission was given to go into the promised land and to give promised victory. So he said, I've given this to you. I said it unto Moses. Ladies and gentlemen, remember this. When God says something, God means what he says, and God keeps his word. We can depend on the promises of the Lord. From the wilderness, he said, this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast or your borders. I'm going to give you all of this territory. And may I remind you that are we back on? No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. Yes, we are. We're on. All right. The battle, that's what the battle over in Israel is all about today, is those boundaries and that territory. And they have a right to that land because God gave them that land. And by the way, one of these days they're going to inherit that land. And it's going to be carried out. But he said, I've given it to Moses, I'm going to give it to you. And there's a description of it. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. What a promise. Joshua, I'm going to be with you. You are going to have some enemies, but we're going to wipe them out. They're not going to be able to stand before you. Now, folks, just because we're saved and crossed Jordan, so to speak, doesn't mean we're not going to have some problems and enemies and difficulties. But we do have the victory through Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In the world we have demons, the prince and power of the air. And we're not wrestling with blood and flesh, but we're wrestling with all of these demonic forces that are around us. But God has given us and promised us victory. In fact, when the devil attacks us, we can be victorious over him. The Bible says in James, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The problem with Baptists is we don't resist him enough. We say, come on, I like what you're saying. Keep talking. We've got to resist him, and he'll flee from us, and then draw close to God, and God will draw close to us. James tells us in 4, 6, and 7. But he says, there's not any man that'll be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I'm sure that encouraged Joshua. And folks, God has been with people of the past, and God has been with this church in the past, and God is still here. And God wants to bless, and we just need to lean on him and look to him. He's not going to fail us. He's still God. So, here's the admonition. Be strong. verse 6, and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Be strong, be of good courage. Go in faith, go in believing, go in knowing it's going to be done. Only be thou strong and very courageous. He keeps reminding him of that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now that's what God told him. Now what does God tell us today? Similar things. And that is, God will bless us if we'll obey him. In the New Testament, it's the same type principle. And we have the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God, know what it tells us to do, and then do what God says. And then after we do that, we have the right to expect God to bless us and prosper us in different ways. Not necessarily always money, but that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. God will be with us and we'll have victory. When? When we obey him. When we do his will. We cannot expect God to bless us if we're not being obedient to his word. And so he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, that thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He says, remember the word of God, and think about it all the time. Think about it during the day. Think about it at night time. Meditate. That's the old deal of the cow chewing the cud, and just, you know, they have more than one stomach, and they get it down in there, and then they bring it back up, and after they bring it back up, they chew on it a little while, and then they put it back down in that stomach. And that's what we're supposed to do. Meditate. Think about it. Roll it over in your mind. Roll it over in your heart. What did God mean? That's what I read today. What did he mean by that? How does that apply to me? And let it get down in your heart, and then later on, bring it back up and say, you know, I believe this is what God was talking about right here in this situation. Meditate day and night. Meditate. Chew the cud. Bring it back up into your heart. Think about the word of God. Have not I commanded thee? And then again he gives them an admonition. Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed. Don't get discouraged and feel defeated. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's the same admonition to us today. No matter what we face, no matter the disappointments, all of those things, have courage, have faith, trust in God, and God's going to bless us. And you and I have to be reminded that the Lord God is with us wherever we go. I believe that, don't you? No matter what we go through. That means up on the mountaintops, but it means he's with us down in the valley. And all in between, that's God. And so these are the encouragements that he gave him, some admonitions in these verses. There are a lot of other lessons in that chapter, but we'll move on just to give you a synopsis of the whole thing. And that is the outstanding events in Joshua's life. And one of those was the crossing of the Jordan. He did what God told him to do, and he went across Jordan. We all have some Jordans in our life. We don't like them. I'm sure Joshua would have said, well, Lord, why don't you just give us a shallow place and let us walk over? And by the way, this time of the year, the Jordan was raging. It wasn't shallow. He said, give us a little ford to cross and where the water's not very high. No, the water was high. It was raging in the Jordan River. You and I have trials like that. But you know what? It's during those Jordan rivers that we see the hand of God. It's during those trials and difficult hours that we see that God parts the waters. God gets us across. God gets us through. God brings us to the other side, to the land flowing with milk and honey. And so he crossed the Jordan. Then later he had the conquest of Jericho. I don't have time to read the verses, but in chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, we know that he conquered Jericho. God said, I'm going to be with you. And God said, the enemies are going to fall. He's just keeping his promise. As the man of God trusted him, And then he gave his final charge to Israel in Joshua 24. He said, "Now therefore, fear the Lord," verse 14, "and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I hope that's true around your place, and that's the way it ought to be in our lives and in our family. And so Joshua gives, in his final charge to Israel, he gives evidence of his total commitment to God. And that's what God expects out of us. That's what we should give God, is our total commitment to the Lord. Joshua was committed to worship. Joshua was committed to service. He was committed, we could say it this way today, he was committed to Christ, to living for the Lord, to serving God, to worshiping God. That meant he would give him everything. And every Christian ought to be willing to commit his or her life totally to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the ministry, the greatest ministry on the face of the earth, the ministry of the local church, in getting the gospel out to people who otherwise are going to die and go to hell. Joshua was God's man. God put him there, and he was to be respected as God's man in that leadership role, just like a pastor, because of the office, should be in his leadership role. And Joshua was a willing servant. He did what God told him to do. And obviously he had to be a great man of faith. I like Joshua. How about you? May God help us to look at his attributes, his traits, and really put some of those in practice, or boost them up in our lives, do a little better job of those things that we need to do. Father, thank you for the book of Joshua. Thank you for the encouragement that Joshua is even to us this day, a willing servant, a servant that you appointed in his place, and a man of faith who believed you. And Lord, thank you for the great way that you preserve the Jewish race so that ultimately Jesus would be born in Bethlehem's manger and we would have a Savior. Thank you for Joshua. Help us to copy those traits of his. And thank you that he in so many ways is a type of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.